What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. Feeling a lot better now, thankfully, as we are about to head into the new year. It's December 28th, Tuesday, December 28th, and we're switching it up a little bit this week. We have Gary on today instead of Tuesday, so it's a Gary Morgan Tuesday. Yeah, I know it doesn't really roll off the tongue as well, but on today's episode, we're going to be finishing up the position player profile. Say that 10 times fast. We're going to talk a little bit about Brian Reynolds, and did the Pirates already kind of pass the ideal time to extend him or the chance to extend him, period? And we're also going to talk about the right field spot that, I mean, there's about four or five guys right now that could really have a case to start over there. So we're going to talk about that today as well. But before we get into today's episode, I always like to let you know and thank you so much for being your first listener of the day every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, you can listen to this podcast on YouTube. We are at 89 subscribers. I want to be at 100 before Saturday. So you have 11 subscribers to get there. So let's try to get there. But you can also listen on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play as well. Guys, thank you so much for doing that and making me your first listener of the day. And with that said, let's get into today's episode.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Alrighty, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast. Of course, you see me on the left, Gary on the right, as always, usually on Mondays. But as Gary said, all of most of 2021, I'm a little bit of a jet setter, so I did not get back in town until late yesterday. Merry Christmas to all. Also tomorrow, make sure you all watch The Book of Boba Fett. This was one of my Christmas gifts. That's going to be a very phenomenal show, I think, on Disney Plus. But we're not here to talk about Disney Plus. We're here to talk about Pirates baseball in the middle of December, in the middle of a lockout. So hopefully you all enjoy that. But Gary, how are you doing today? Everything going good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It might be easier to talk about Disney Plus, but
I mean, yeah, especially with everything going on right now with Hawkeye just finishing up. You got all those shows coming up, you know, Boba Fett, all that stuff. You know, maybe if Major League Baseball cared as much as Disney does, you wouldn't be in a lockout right now and things would be happening. But as things stand right now, one thing is still certain, I would say, Gary, and Brian Reynolds is still the best player on this baseball team. I don't think anybody would really disagree with that. That hasn't changed with anything the Pirates have done in this offseason. I don't think anybody really expected it. And I am going to bring this up first, and I'm sure you saw it last week, about the, I can't remember the name of the website now, that said the Pirates are going to go 74 and 88. And I said I would jump for jubilation if that happens. I have no indication that we're going to win 74 games. But if they were to, it would probably be due to Brian Reynolds doing something godlike. And I posed this question about Brian Reynolds as we're doing a profile for him. And I really think that he's going to have another good 2022. I think, again, 2020 was just an aberration to his entire career. I expect him to be an all-star again. I expect him to be in the Gold Glove conversation again. But that poses an interesting question that I asked you kind of before we started recording today. Is it already too late to extend Brian Reynolds? Of course, they have a lot of team control on him still, but has the ideal time passed already to get him signed to a deal?
No, but it's close. You have to keep in mind, he hasn't even been signed for this year yet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that can still play out this year. I would imagine the extension talks will kind of be married into the arbitration talk. So all they've really decided so far is that he's worthy of getting whatever his arbitration award is, and they probably will not just rest on that. I would imagine they'll try to get something done. We've been told they're trying to get something done. So, yeah, I'm not going to say it's too late when we haven't even figured out what he's going to make this year yet.
Yeah.
But you're right. If it goes into 2022 and he plays under his arbitration deal, yeah, it's less likely than it was last year. And exponentially every year, it's going to get more and more less likely. So,
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of a scary thought, too, because one of the things right now the Pirates are kind of priding on, you would think, is Brian Reynolds, because you've seen the departure of pretty much everyone else around him at this point. I mean, yep. I talked about Key Brian Hayes last week and how there's a lot of pressure on Key Brian Hayes this year to finally say, I'm the second best guy on this team. Like, he really has to prove that. And I mean, right now, I would say by default, he probably is, but he really needs to show it. Like, he can't just be comfortable with saying that. And that's something that I think Brian Reynolds, I don't think that's going to happen to him either. But I just don't want it to get to the point for Pirates fans where it seems like they're this close, and then by 2023, Brian Reynolds still doesn't have an extension, and you have a decision to make. You either pay him, which the Pirates are notoriously bad at doing, or you trade him off for elite prospects, because we've already seen Ben Cherington's asking price reportedly from that Seattle Mariners trade. It's going to take a lot to get Brian Reynolds off the Pirates' hands, but if it does come to a point where right now you have that leverage, you do. But then if he says, I want to leave, his value goes way down, and you have to accept whatever teams are going to give you. So it really ends up being a lose-lose if they don't extend Brian Reynolds, and I think that has to be scary to Pirates fans, right?
Well, part of the reason they can ask for that is because of the amount of control he has
yes.
right now. So let's not discount that, because that mm-hmm. goes down every year. So whatever Ben's asking price was this last year, stands to reason it's going to be a little less next year. A little less the year after that. And mm-hmm. that's just the way it works. And it doesn't really matter how good Brian is. It's if you're only trading a guy for a couple years of control versus 3 or 4 years of control, you're going to get less in return. That's all there is to it. He certainly has warranted an extension.
Yes.
We've been told they want to extend somebody. I don't believe that to be Brian Hayes, for a lot of reasons, most of which being that his father is a former MLB player, and they notoriously like to take their kids to free agency. I fully expect him to reach free agency. But I think if Ben's being truthful, then Brian Reynolds is the guy. Let's hope they get it done. I really do. Yeah.
And then I would say after Brian Reynolds, if we're nixing Cabrian Hayes from that talk, I would assume the next guy would probably be O'Neill Cruz, right? You would have to at least think about it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it could be one of the pitchers, too. They could like one of the pitchers and decide that they need to keep them around. Maybe it's even like a David Bednar, somebody like that you're not thinking about. He's still got a ton of control left. But
yes, he does.
He's a guy that you could lock up, not unlike they tried to do with Mr. Pedo. But
that's it. Honestly, I like that usage better than actually saying his name on the podcast. I like that, actually. If you guys don't know who he's talking about, just go Google it and figure it out. You'll figure it out pretty fast. You could probably type Mr. Pedo and Pittsburgh Pirates in the Google search, and it will probably be the first story that pops up. But either way, David Bednar, I'd love to see him as a candidate as well. This is finishing up our 2022 player profiles for the position players. So next week when you're on Monday, more than likely we will be talking about some part of the pitching. I'm not sure how I'm doing the rest of my episodes this week, because I know the New Year's Eve episode is going to be New Year's resolutions and all that fun stuff, just to keep all the listeners in the loop on what's going on this week. The next episode, of course, will be on Thursday. Before we get into yet another question, though, about this baseball team that's going to be a very interesting topic of concern heading into 2022, I want to let you know that today's episode, of course, is brought to you by those wonderful things we love to call Built Bars. Built Bar, of course, is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They don't compare Built Bar to holiday desserts. We don't want people to feel guilty about enjoying the holidays. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy, amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein. Party people are really passionate about their favorite flavors, guys, just so you know, so watch out for that. You always have to make sure that everybody is happy with their favorite Built Bars. And you can go to BuiltBar.com, and if somebody doesn't know their favorite flavor, you can grab that mix box where you get two of each of the 9 unique flavors of the best protein bars on the market. Like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste amazing, and you won't believe they're filled with protein. So with all that said, make sure you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order when you invest in the best protein bars on the market. All right. So we talked a little bit about Brian Reynolds. Think it's a given that he's going to be our starting center fielder, right? I would say, like, you know.
I would think so, yeah.
I would think so. I don't think there's really any doubt in my mind on that one. But as the 40-man rosters were released a couple months ago, the Pirates decided they were going to protect a lot of outfielders, and that was Kaden Smith and Jigba, right. Travis Swaggerty, and Jack Sawinski. They also acquired Greg Allen. They also already have Anthony Alford. So right field is very interesting now because Ben Gamel, I would say, has a stranglehold on left field as well with his one-year deal. I would say he's going to probably stick there for some time. I think he's probably maybe until he's traded. I already put him as a trade candidate whenever that time comes, like whenever the trade deadline sure. comes. But with all those names mentioned, who do you think starts the year as the right fielder, and who do you think ends the year as the right fielder?
First, I think it's really open. I think in spring, I really think it could be anybody. It would be pretty unlikely if it was one of the guys that just got promoted from AA to AAA. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't rule it out 100%. I think it's going to be Anthony Alford. He's probably going to have the inside track on that. And yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he got left field instead of Gamel. He's a much better athlete. He can play that position in PNC mm-hmm. Park a lot better than Ben Gamel can. I'd love to see them, by the end of the season, work their way into Ben Gamel being a fourth outfielder.
Yes.
And having somebody like Travis Swaggerty, who I believe has to make it this year.
Yeah.
I think he's probably your first one that's going to come up. Jack Sawinski and Kaden Smith and Jigba are the next two. I think they're both probably right on the cusp there of being able to make it this year. There's a good chance we're going to see each and every one of them play this year. By the end, though, I don't know that you'll have a formal starter. I think you'll have a mix of guys that are carouseling through there. And I wouldn't be 100% shocked if O'Neill Cruz was one of them.
I can't see it, especially with the logjam that I talked about a couple episodes ago with all the middle infielders that the Pirates have to feed, too. I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed in the corner outfield and the middle infield right now. And O'Neill Cruz really has the inside track on that because the guy is 6'7". He's athletic. He can probably play the outfield. I would prefer this, though. If they're going to have him do it, I want him to learn how to do it in AAA. I want him to learn how to do it down there. Don't try to teach him how to do it at the major league level. We saw how that works with Cole Tucker. It doesn't. It just doesn't really work. Now, right. I'm not saying O'Neill Cruz is the same player as Cole Tucker in that regard. He might be able to pick it up a little bit easier. But 9 times out of 10, when you're telling a guy, oh, yeah, so you used to play shortstop, now go play right field, and you stick him out there for MLB games, it usually doesn't work. So I would be perfectly fine with seeing Cruz probably start in right field in AAA a little bit, see where he's at with it, and then like kind of ease him into it when he gets to the major league level. I know some people probably wouldn't like it, but I think that's the perfect way to do it.
Well, they started before his injury last year. They started having him shag balls in the outfield. They were starting to get work with him, mm-hmm. Mostly in center field, because this is news to me, but all the coaches and most of the players seem to back it up. Center field's the easiest position for guys to transition to. That's why they did that with Cole Tucker. That's why they did that with O'Neill Cruz when they were getting started. Apparently something about the way the ball comes off the bat, it's easier to read for guys like, you know, that are fresh to the outfield. So That's why they decided to start him out there. I don't think he could come up to MLB and jump into that position, no. But it's not something the Pirates have not thought about. It's a possibility. I still think it's going to be difficult to get him at bats in right field in the minors. They have a lot of guys they need to see.
Yeah.
Unless they would do something like make an actual cut, like in spring, like say they say Greg Allen's not going to cut it, which, you know, hey, I personally think that they could easily come to that decision.
Yeah, it'd be like, okay.
But there's a difference between not thinking he's good and cutting him. We'll see, you know, mm-hmm. Kai Tom played for half a season.
Good Lord.
So let's see. All I'm saying is if they make a cut, okay, then, yeah, one of those guys comes up, and then there's more and more room, and then, yeah, maybe he gets some playing time down there. But I don't think he's long for AAA. So I'm not sure there's going to be time to learn a new position down there, yeah, to be honest.
And it's interesting, too, because as you mentioned, I mean, we are even forgetting another person here that, albeit he probably is as good as gone, but Cal Mitchell is also still technically on this team. And why is he as good as gone? Well, I'm saying, from like things that I've seen, I'm not entirely sure, but I have seen teams like that are interested in not him specifically, but I have seen things about the Rule 5 draft where a lot of teams are apparently going to be very aggressive. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be gone, but I did say he's good as gone. But, I mean, we'll see. But he's also still another domino in this piece as well, because a lot of people thought he was going to be the guy protected over, say, Jack Sawinski. And
Jared Olive is still alive, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. Like you said, that one podcast, and it came to fruition with me, we have, what, 9 middle infielders and 8 outfielders on the 40-man roster right now?
Yep.
So if you do the math, 17 of your 40 guys right now are play pretty much the same position.
That's why I don't rule out somebody overtly just being jettisoned off the team in the spring. Because to me, if Greg Allen's not good enough, his main claim to fame is his speed.
Yeah.
So if he's not good enough, well, Jared Olive is fast too. So bye. Somebody goes away.
Like,
you know, yeah, it's a pretty easy decision. If you're going to have somebody that's not good enough and their claim to fame is being fast, well, you might as well have the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Honestly, yeah. And we're going to continue this conversation here in just a second, but I want to let you guys know about betonline.ag. Betonline.ag has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome match bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. So now continuing with this conversation, though, say O'Neal Cruz does get put into this kind of competition. What does that mean for the other guys? What does that mean? Like, I think at that point, Greg Allen would definitely be pretty much good as, like, at that point, I think he would be gone. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no point. Like, I mean, at that point, you have so many young guys in that one spot that you don't really want to focus on him. So, realistically, that leaves kind of Kanan Smith, Swaggerty, and Sawinski, and even, like you said, Jared Oliva, in kind of a weird spot. But does it create healthy competition to make these guys better?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, Anthony Alford is on his last shot. Let's not lie. You know, if he comes up here and he hits 5 home runs in the first couple months of the season and strikes out 68 times, he's done.
Yeah.
You know, they've given him enough shots at that point. And I think we all have to be prepared for that eventuality. So to me, there's two to three spots that need filled on the major league roster, and I'm going with to three because of what you said. Ben Gamble is probably a trade candidate. Mm. He's not somebody they're going to extend forever and ever. And
no.
Now, on a good baseball team, I want Ben Gamble every day of the week on my bench. I think he's a great guy for that
as
role.
As a pinch hitter especially? Yeah,
yeah. Phenomenal. But he's a great guy for that role. He can fill in holes that, you know, a lot of guys aren't capable of, and he has that energy that just comes every time he's inserted into the game. He just wants to do something. So I love having that guy around. It's not like I'm pining for him to get moved, but
no.
we shouldn't fool ourselves here. There's three open spots in that outfield, and that can be filled by prospects, or it can be filled by free agents, or it can be filled by people moving positions. So
hey, don't say the word free agent, Gary, because everybody might start saying Andrew McCutchen again.
They can say that all they want. That's fine.
I love that. Like, I still see stories about it, and I'm like, first of all, we're in a lockout, so they can't do it. And second of all, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. I'm serious. It's like,
there's a better chance that his kid gets drafted 15 years from now than he comes back.
Yes, 100%. So 15 years from now, when I'm still doing the Locked On Pirates podcast, when Steele McCutchen gets drafted by the Pirates at number one overall, because we'll probably still be rebuilding by then. Yeah, I'll still be here, and then we'll talk about it. I'm going to keep that. I'm actually going to note that. So 15 years from now, Gary, if you get a random text message from this guy that you haven't done a podcast with in 10 years, you'll probably be like, oh, yeah, I do remember saying that. But again, I agree with all of your points. I mean, like, there's two spots to fill in the middle infield. There's like eight or nine guys. There's three spots to fill in the outfield. One of them is already filled for the most part. The other is filled for half a season at least. So you have, like you said, two to three spots fill. Like, do you need to fill? And about 16 or 17 guys that are fighting for, well, around those three or four spots. Like, nine respectively here and eight respectively there. And, I mean, I do like it, though, in the sense that if the season starts on time and spring training starts on time, and I think you've said this before, this will be the first spring training in a while for the Pirates where there's, like, actual competition that we have to watch every single day in spring training to see what's going on. And I mean, realistically, throughout all of spring training, some guys, like you said, might just get jettisoned off the team just for not performing well enough. Some guys might elevate themselves into the conversation, and that eight could turn into nine. And it's like, it's really interesting just to look into how important 2022 spring training is going to be for Pittsburgh.
You have to think of it like even the way the Pirates built their team, right? You know, we talk about all these interesting infield options. Well, one of those interesting infield options is Michael Chavis, right?
Yep.
Well, guess what he was in Boston? He was one of the a big group of guys that could come in and play middle infield. They tried him in the outfield. They tried him at first base. They tried him at third base because they wanted to get his bat in the lineup. And ultimately, his bat let him down a little bit, so they stopped trying to find a place for him to play. You worry about the numbers of these individual positions, or you can focus on the fact that the bat is going to tell whether they belong in the lineup or not. And if the bat plays, they will find a place for them to play.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ke'Bryan Hayes, he's a lock at third. You have Brian Reynolds, he's a lock in left field or center field. And then if you're a catcher, you're going to catch. Aside from that, they will find a place to play if your bat warrants it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't worry too much about it because I want that. I want that kind of competition. So how many years have we gone in where it's like, well, Kevin Newman's got to start. Well, Kevin Newman is probably going to start this year, but I don't know that he'll finish.
Yeah, it's also that, and it's also, I'd say he's probably going to start, but I wouldn't say that it's like a given thing that he's going to. I mean, if he gets outplayed in spring training, there's a real shot that he's not the starting shortstop. There's a real shot behind it.
Sure, it's possible. But, I mean, he's got a leg up, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're a Gold Glove finalist, I think you have a little bit of a leg up on that department.
And you know, honestly, his paycheck deems that.
Yeah.
You know, they took him to arbitration. He'll get paid more than most of those rookies will. Cole Tucker's in the mix somewhere, which you know, I wouldn't have thought last year. I kind of thought last year should have been his show me year. But, you know, they decided to give him another shot. But Diego Castillo is no slouch. I think a lot of people are just glazing right over him because of O'Neill Cruz coming up at shortstop. But Diego Castillo is a lot more polished than people know. I think that guy's a lot closer than people are giving credit. Rodolfo Castro has already gotten a taste up here. Michael Chavis, like we talked about. Park.
Tucumino Marcano.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been impressed by him so far, but we all know Ben is enamored with him. So, yep. Yeah, there's an awful lot of options there. I mean, Juwan Baez even, like, starting to make noise.
Yep. You know,
there's a lot of players coming up. And this is all before you even get to start talking and thinking about Leover Peguero, who's on the 40-man. So he has to be considered a real option to come up this year. And then Nick Gonzalez early next year. I mean, so you've got middle infielders galore coming. This year is all about seeing what they can get for guys like Kevin Newman.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And I feel like that's a great way to end the podcast today. I feel like this is one of the first times, well, I wouldn't say one of the first times, but the first time in a while that we actually ended a podcast on a positive note, because on my last episode when we were talking about what the Pirates would want under the Christmas tree, my guest said anything other than Bob Nutting as the owner of the team. So that you'd see where that podcast probably went. But Gary, thank you so much for coming on as always. What do you have going on over there or inside the Bucks basement and everything that you usually do?
A couple fresh pieces went up yesterday, and I haven't done a podcast, honestly, Ethan, since your last one. So that I was on. So just getting back into it after the holiday break here this week. So.
Oh yeah, of course. And you guys know that you can find Gary, as I said, inside the Bucks basement and on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I got it right this time. And guys, you know, you can follow me on Twitter at LockedOnPirates and at MVP_Ethan. You can find this podcast on YouTube, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, pretty much wherever you find your podcast. You can find Gary's podcast as well. Guys, I also know, Gary, go ahead and say it again before the new year starts. You guys are doing that live event next month, right?
Yeah, January 22nd at the North Shore Tavern right across from PNC Park. We're going to be doing the Pirates Fan Forum live. At 2:00, as many of you as can show up. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, yeah, of course. Make sure you guys get out to that. It's going to be a phenomenal time. You never know. You never can beat Pirates Talk in January, right? never. Nothing else can beat it, right? But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you all have a phenomenal rest of your Tuesday. I will see you again on Thursday, and thank you so much.